So, well, it's great to see everybody. I just want to do a minute of review of last week, you know, what we spoke about, because there's some thematic connection. So last week we talked about the idea that the Jewish story, the story of our national inception, is really rooted, as every nation has an origin story, in a repudiation of Egyptian culture. And one of the aspects of Egyptian culture that was very central that we repudiated was a certain dismissiveness of the young. We talked about Yosef in particular as a Na'ar Ivri Eved L'Sarat HaBachim, and Moshe's rejoinder to Paro, Bine'arenu V'Zkenenu Neleich, you know, the significance of our involvement with our children, because we're longitudinally oriented, and transmission is, you know, particularly significant to us. So tonight we're going to talk about the Halach Ma'anya and the story of the Halach Ma'anya, which is obviously in the Aramaic, and there's widespread consensus amongst all of the commentators on the Haggadah that it was one of the latest editions after the Jewish people were exiled to Bavel. So most of the material in the Haggadah is Tanaic in origin, it is Mishnaic Hebrew, and you have here obviously the Aramaic as an indication that it was added later on. Obviously, the Haggadah was compiled over many centuries. So the Halach Ma'anya certainly picks up on the theme of longitudinal consciousness, but really in the opposite direction, as I'll try to explain this evening. That is to say, that of course, you know, if last week we discussed the importance of transmission forward, can I get Arba Banim Dibra Torah V'higad to Levinecha, what we'll really discuss tonight is a conception of freedom that's very much rooted in a consciousness of the past. In particular, the statement of Chazal, Chayev Adam Liros es Atzmo Ki'ilu Hu Yatza Mimitzrayim. The idea of going back in time, not only worrying about the future, but having a very deep rootedness in the past, especially in this idea of national liberation, of having been saved, you know, from bondage, and the implications that that has in terms of our understanding of what freedom really means. So let me just begin by reviewing another point that we made last week, because I think it'll be a very helpful contrast for us this evening. Last week we made a point that, you know, the origin story, let's say, of the United States is really rooted in the idea that, you know, freedom is to be freed of King George III and British tyranny, and that what we're looking for is the ability to say, you know, you don't get to tell me what to do, otherwise known as don't tread on me, right? We're going to tell ourselves what to do. That's the idea which is very deeply rooted in our collective consciousness, even to the point of us perhaps not even being aware of the degree to which it permeates our culture. And we spoke about that last week. That is very, very, very far from what our conception of freedom is from a Torah point of view, and especially from the point of view of Yetzias Mitzrayim, as we'll try to articulate. To understand the Halach Ma'anya is to understand a radically different conception of what it means, Hashta Avde L'Shana Haba B'nei Chorin. What would it mean to really be a free person? And here, to some extent, we are trapped by language, and language is always something we need to be very, very deeply sensitive to. This is one of the great challenges that we have. Wittgenstein pointed this out, as did many other philosophers, that when we use terms, when we use language, so if I say, you know, the story of Pesach is a story of national liberation, of slaves becoming free. So we, you know, as 20th, in my case, and in your case, 21st century Americans, you know, we have very certain connotations, very specific understandings of what the meaning of freedom actually is. What is freedom? For us, as I explained, that means basically freedom from, and not just in the sense of Roosevelt's four freedoms, we're not just talking about freedom from fear or hunger, but basically freedom from other people being able to tell us what to do, how to behave, what to say, etc. So we have to be very careful with language. What exactly does freedom mean? What do we mean when we say in the Halach Ma'anya, you know, what we're dreaming of freedom, the subtitle of tonight's shiur, you know, Hashta Avdei, now we're slaves, L'shana Haba B'nei Chorin, so we think, oh, we'll be free, we'll get to do whatever we want. No, it's very, very far from that. And that is really what I was alluding to just a moment ago when I say, Chayav Adam Liros Es Atzmo Ki'ilu Hu Yatza Mimitzrayim, right, what Chazal had in mind through that particular form of historical consciousness. Okay, so let me open with some historical analysis that the Malbim engaged in. I already mentioned that there's a broad consensus amongst the Mefarshei Haggadah that Halach Ma'anya was really one of the latest editions. It's given away by the fact that it's in Aramaic as opposed to Mishnaic or Tanaic Hebrew. The Malbim went even further. The Malbim was of the view that the Halach Ma'anya, brief though it is an amalgam of a text of Israel, where they were also speaking Aramaic, and a text of Bavel. So if you pay attention, there's kind of a dualism. After we get to the line of Halach Ma'anya Da'achla V'asana Ba'arad Mitzrayim, so we have two lines. Kol Dichvin, anybody who's hungry, Yesei V'yechol. And then the next line is Kol Ditzrich, anybody who is in need, Yesei V'yifsach, should come and join our Chabura, our group, for purposes of the Korban Pesach. The Malbim theorized that the first line was from Bavel. The next line was actually from Eretz Yisrael, where they could have korbanos. Likewise, he said, you find that in the same order in the final two stanzas, right? Where it says, Hashta Hacha, we're here now in the Gola, particularly in Bavel, L'shana Haba Be'ara Di Yisrael, but next year we'll be in Israel. And those people who are already in Israel, but subject again to foreign influence, subject to foreign powers, they said, Hashta Avdi, L'shana Haba B'nei Chorin. Okay, so the Malbim was of the view that what was really going on here was that the Baal Haggadah ultimately combined different generations, different geographic areas, and created this kind of, a pseudo-text, as if it were really, you know, one organic text, but it draws from many different sources. That already is a very, I think, fascinating perspective about some of the distinctions that we might have encountered in terms of Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. Ultimately, I'm going to try to go in a different direction, but I think the Malbim's perspective is very illuminating in its own right. Let me go just one step further by way of introduction before laying out the broader thesis. The Rav was very struck by the idea of Kol Dichvin Yesei V'yechol, that the first thing that we would do would be to invite other people in to join our Seder. And in particular, Kol Ditzrich Yesei V'yifsach is a particularly strange line, because we know that one of the halachos of Korban Pesach, it's included in the Korbanos every morning, Eino Nechal El Lamenuyav, you actually have to have signed up in advance. This isn't like a shul, where if they tell you to register in advance, you're probably okay, even if you don't, you know. 99 times out of 100, they'll probably let it slide. You know, they'll be happy to take the $18 later. But when it comes to the Korban Pesach, you know, the fact of the matter is that you have to really sign up in advance. So to say, Kol Ditzrich, anybody wants to join our Korban Pesach, you know, Yesei V'yifsach, that sounds like a very strange line. So one of the things that the Rav argued was that this, very brief recitation before we actually begin, you know, Magid, you know, Avadim Hayinu Lefara B'Mitzrayim, is actually our way of stating that we're really free people. Because, you know, if you're dealing with Avadim, they have no capacity to invite anybody to join their meals, right? An Eved is living at a subsistence level. Whatever food that he or she can possibly get, they're not really thinking in terms of, you know, who I can share this with. They're thinking of, you know, how long can this last me? In fact, that's the very idea of Halach Ma'anya. The Gemara says, the reason that we do yachatz, we break the matzah, ma darko shel ani beprusa, right, afkan beprusa, that an ani will always break the matzah, or whatever meager rations he has to be able to save some for later. So the Rav thought that this was a very powerful statement regarding us being free people and projecting chayrus at the very beginning of the Seder. To add to that point, the Rav noted that in the Rambam's Haggadah, the Rambam added three words that don't appear in our standard text of the Haggadah, which begins with Halach Ma'anya. The Rambam begins, Bivihilu Yitzaana Mimitzrayim, that we left Egypt in a state of haste. In fact, those very words, Bibihilu Yitzaana Mimitzrayim, are found and taken from the Targum Unklus in Sefer Devarim. In Parshas Re'eh, the Torah tells us, Lo sochal alav chametz. We should not have the Karban Pesach with chametz. Rather, Shivas Yamim toch alav matzos lechem oni. Ki v'chipazon yatzasa me eretz Mitzrayim. B'chipazon, b'behila yitzaasna mimitzrayim. So what the Rav thought was going on here was that the Rambam was injecting a dialectic into the Halach Ma'anya. If you're focused only on the Lechem Oni, Halach Ma'anya Dachla Vasana, the bread of affliction, right, that gives a perspective of matzah that's a little bit one-sided. But the fact of the matter is that matzah, of all of the three major symbols, Pesach, Matzah, and Maror, is the one that's dialectical. Maror, of course, reminds us of our bondage. The Pesach is clearly a symbol of our redemption. The matzah goes both ways. The matzah is at once lechem oni, bread of affliction, but it's equally, right, the bread that reminds us, lo hispik b'tzekam shalavosenu lahachmitz ad shenigla aleihem elokei avosenu. So the Rav argued what the Rambam was trying to do was to add in, before you got to halach ma'anya, bibehilu yitzana mimitzrayim, that matzah connotes not only our period of affliction in Egypt, but in particular the haste and the speed of our redemption. Ki v'chipazon yatzasa yet me'eretz Mitzrayim. And that is a second perspective, in addition to the perspective of the Malbim, that I think is very illuminating in terms of an introduction. Okay. So as I mentioned at the outset, longitudinal thinking really moves in both directions. Last week, we spoke about the idea of being very, very focused on transmission. The idea that the karpas, which is to get the children to ask questions, can become such a central element of the Seder. And here we'll think about longitudinal orientation, but in the opposite direction. What does it really mean that we were taken out of Egypt? Chayev Adam liros es atzmo ki'ilu hu yatza Mimitzrayim. And how does this connect to the dream of being Bnei Chorim that's expressed in the Halach Ma'anya, Hashta Avde, L'shana Haba, Bnei Chorim? What is the meaning of that expression, Bnei Chorim, from a Jewish point of view? So what I'd like to suggest is the following. The Ramban, in his commentary to the Aseres HaDibros, has a very fascinating argument. Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hoteisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Mibeis Avadim. Why does, the Ramban asks, why does the Torah stress, I took you out of the land of Egypt, Mibeis Avadim? Surely all the Jews of that generation would have been intimately familiar with the idea that they were slaves in Egypt. So what is God, you know, reminding them of this very dark period in their history? So the Ramban makes a very assertive, even audacious argument. Just that what God was insinuating when he added those two words, Mibeis Avadim, what he was really saying was, Ki Avadai Heim. I took you out of a base Avadim, but in a very real sense, you are still Avadim. The only thing that's changed is who is your master. It's no longer Paro. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am your master. Asher Otseisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Mibeis Avadim. And then immediately, Lo Yelecha Elohim Acherim Al Panai. So here are my list of demands. It's a different set of demands than you would have been used to in Egypt. See, the Egyptian taskmaster told you how many bricks to make and how much mortar to lay. He told you about quotas and about straw and about consequences for failing to meet those standards. But I, says God, I have different standards. I took you out of that base of Adim, but I have a different set of demands. Lo yelecha Elohim acherim al panai, lo sisa, eshem Hashem Elokecha lashav, lo tirtach, lo tinaf. You are still very much subordinated, but you're subordinated for the sake of a different Adon and for the sake of a different mission. The mission in Egypt was a degraded, dehumanizing one where they were exploiting you for material purposes. Here, as Ramban says, what God wants is your wholehearted commitment, but for the sake of elevating you. L'tov lach, ultimately, all of this new shibud will, in a sense, be very good for you. What we mean when we say, hashta avdei, l'shana haba b'nei chorin, is not freedom in the American sense of the term, but freedom to live up to that mission, as the mission in Pirkei Avos states, ein l'cha ben chorin, ela misha osek batorah, shene'emar, charus al haluchos, al tikre charus, ela cherus. What the luchos represented, anochi Hashem Elokecha, asher tzeisicha meretz Mitzrayim, mi beis avadim, was the opportunity to trade up. Ki avadayhem, to trade up from a dehumanizing, demoralizing, dispiriting, mikotze ruach me'avodah kasha, to being servants of the master of the universe, and to be able to be his ambassadors, ve'atem tiuli, mamlaches kohanim v'goy kadosh. It's hardly, you know, a libertine kind of an experience, filled with pleasure, for its own sake, but rather one of discipline, rigor, constant demand. And yet, in the end, the sum is to elevate us to be in a rendezvous with our Creator. What's interesting, once a person or a nation with a good memory, has experienced this once, you can never quite put the genie back in the bottle. That is to say, any future period of bondage, any future period of enslavement, any future period of suffering, any future period of persecution, you can never quite crush the spirit of a people that remembers well. Chayev Adam liros es atzmo ki'ilu hu yatza mimitzrayim. Person has to understand themselves in a very deep sense as if he or she was taken out of Egypt. The Jewish people have known many periods of subjugation in our history. There's no doubt about that. But once a people has known what it means to be oppressed, but at the same time to be liberated, you can never quite convince them that all hope is lost. And that becomes, in my view, the genesis of the Halach Ma'anya. See, the Jewish people had been exiled from the land of Israel. They had been kicked out of their homeland. They were as close to the degraded state that they experienced in Egypt as they had been since then. And yet the first thing that the people in Bavel added to the Haggadah was a remarkable text. They did not deny the aspect of subjugation that they were now experiencing. Halach ma'anya d'achla v'asana be'ara d'mitzrayim. They immediately refer to that lechem oni, to that affliction that they were experiencing themselves when they authored this section of the Haggadah. But they also immediately refer to the hope that's associated with Yitzias Mitzrayim. You can never convince a people that was enslaved and liberated that there is no path forward. And so how does the Halach Ma'anya go on? Kol dichvin Yesei v'yechol. Anybody who's hungry, come and join us. There's a remarkable gesture here. You know, the Rav thought it was about demonstrating chayrus. I think it's a little bit more about demonstrating chesed. Anybody who's been oppressed, any group that's been oppressed, knows that the goal of the oppressor is to divide those who are oppressed amongst themselves. The Egyptians were very good at it. Moshe saw that firsthand on the second day, Shnei Anashim Ivrim Nitzim. Vayomer LaRasha, Lama Sakereyacha. And that experience breaks Moshe when he sees that the Jews aren't unified in their resistance against the Egyptians. What lesson did we take from our period of bondage and subjugation in Egypt? We took the lesson that we needed to stick together. Kol dichvin yesei v'yechol. Anybody who's hungry, come and eat along with us. We will not allow this new period of slavery and bondage in Bavel to break us, but we'll retain those values that are so critical to our worldview, to our ethos, a perspective of chesed, of kindness, Torah tchilasa chesed, v'sofa chesed. And yeah, we don't have the Karban Pesach. I'm going in a different direction, the Malbim. I think it was all written in Bavel. But kol ditzrich yesei v'yifsach. It's true, we don't have the Karban Pesach, but we're going to dream tonight. We're going to dream that one day we will again. Because a nation, as I've said, that's been oppressed and redeemed can never really spiritually be broken. They know that the darkest winter, hundreds of years of slavery, will at some point end. We don't ever really know when. Just like the Jewish people in Egypt didn't know exactly when. But there's this indomitable will that's born of the Egyptian experience, what we call the Kor HaBarzel Mimitzrayim, the sense that if that didn't break us, then nothing possibly can. So kol ditzrich yesei v'yifsach. We'll make a Pesach Seder tonight, even if it's only a dream. Because you see, hashtahacha l'shana haba be'ara di Yisrael. Next year, we're going to be in a much better place. Hashtahavdei l'shana haba b'nei chorin. We may be slaves now, but next year we'll be free. But again, not free in the Western sense of the term, but free to be back in the land of Israel. And back in the land of Israel, which is the land of mitzvos, which is the land of proximity to Hashem, Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha, Doresh Osa, Tamid Enei Hashem Elokecha Ba, and will be fully restored to our previous stature. Now, it's very fascinating. The pasuk that it all comes from, that we've been talking about tonight, Lo Sochal Alav Chametz, Shivas Yamim Tochalav Matzos Lechem Oni, Ki v'chipazon yatzasa meretz Mitzrayim, concludes with a critical clause, a clause which is discussed at length in the Haggadah. L'ma'an tizkor es yom tzeischa meretz Mitzrayim kol yimei chayecha, so that you should remember that day that you left Egypt always. We have the discussion between Reb Lezer ben Azariah ben Zoma the Chachamim kol yimei chayecha yamim kol yimei chayecha alelos. The simple meaning of the pasuk is quite obvious. That every single day of our lives, we should remember leman tizkor es yom tizcha meretz Mitzrayim kol yemei chayecha. There is no such thing as a hopeless situation as far as we're concerned. The central message of longitudinal thinking of chayev adam lirus atzmo Ki'ilu hu yatsa mi Mitzrayim, is that nothing can break our spirit. God has a relationship with us. Any period of bondage, of subjugation and oppression, is by definition temporary. Hashta hacha l'shana haba b'aradi Yisrael. Hashta avdei L'shana haba b'nei chorin. But again, let's go back now to the pasuk. There's a famous question that the Rav once posed. everybody agrees that it's a mitzvah of zechiras yetzias Mitzrayim, that we have to mention every single day that we were taken out of Egypt. We happen to do so within the context of the Kriyat Shema. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Hotzeisichem Meretz Mitzrayim Be'os Lachem Elokim, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Emes. The Rambam, in his enumeration of the 248 positive commandments, as a matter of fact, does not count the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's very strange. Everybody agrees that it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, so why isn't it on the list of the minyan ha-mitzvos? So the Rav argued one year in the Yortzeit Rasha used to give for his father, Gimel Shvat, that in fact, the Rambam did not enumerate it as a separate mitzvah, Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, because it was an intrinsic part of the Kriyat Shema of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. To remember that we left Egypt is not only to instill within us this indomitable sense of hope, it does that, but it reminds us of, as we spoke about in the name of the Ramban, Mibes Avadim, why it was that God took us out of Egypt. Leman Tiskoras Yom Tzeischa Meretz Yitzrayim Kol Yimei Chayecha is part of the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. We remind ourselves, He took us out of Egypt. Ki Avadayim Asher Hotzeisi Osam Meretz Mitzrayim. He took us out of Egypt so that we would be able to serve Him. That we would be His Mamlachas Kohanim, V'goy kadosh, v'hotzeiti, v'itzalti, v'ga'alti, all leading up to v'lakachti eschem li la'am, as the Ramban explains it, that will be at Har Sinai, when you become fully my people, and you're makabel es ha-Torah. Ein lecha ben chorin, ela misha osik ba-Torah, charus al haluchos, al tikrei charus, ela cheros. To me, the halach ma'anya is an absolutely remarkable statement. The Jews have been exiled for the first time in their history since redemption from Egypt. This is the first documented reflection that we have. The first documented reflection that we have regarding what it means for the Jewish people to be exiled, to feel the sting of bondage as we must have in Egypt. And the Jewish people draw two conclusions. First, the situation is not hopeless. We're going to stick together. Kol dichven yese v'yechol, kol ditzrich yese v'yisach. Let's dream together. Let's be kind to one another. We may, you know, be experiencing tough times now, but that's only now. Hashtahacha, l'shana ba be'arad Yisrael. That's the first idea. The first layer of meaning is that we remember once a people has been taken out of Egypt, that you can never break that people. Their spirit just can't be broken. They know that redemption is not just a theoretical possibility, but it's a reality. Second, when the Jewish people said in the Halach Ma'anya, Hashta Avdi L'Shana Haba B'nei Chorin, that we would become B'nei Chorin again, that was a very specific reference. B'nei Chorin, in the sense that Hashem rendered us B'nei Chorin, Ein Lecha Ben Chorin, Elamisha Osek Batorah. It meant to embrace the idea of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim as an intrinsic part of Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim. That we were taken out of Egypt for a specific purpose, not just so that we could have a good time, not for that reason at all, but actually so that we would serve God and live the redeemed life. A challenging life, a life of discipline, a life of rigor, but ultimately a life of deep meaning, filled with the spirituality of Torah and mitzvos. Now, it's a very fascinating thing. This text added on to frame the Haggadah. you know, you could have stuck it somewhere in the middle. You could have thrown it in at the end of Magid next to Dayenu. You could have put it, you know, Matzazo, Anu Ochin Al Shema, next to that section. But it was actually, remarkably, put first as the introduction to Magid. Nothing, in my judgment, could be more significant than this placement. It's first. It frames the Magid. It reminds us that the Baal Haggadah understood that the power of this evening was in being an intergenerational text. The strength of telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim is not to tell the story of one very specific generation in Jewish history, but rather, through the Halach Ma'anya framing it all, to make a much broader point about the nature of Jewish history. There are oscillations, there are vicissitudes, there are vacillations, there are ups and downs. But Chayav Adam Liros Es Atzmo Ki'ilu Hu Yatza Mimitzrayim. The Jews of Bavel, experiencing the first prolonged period of exile since Shibud Mitzrayim, understood very well that Yetzias Mitzrayim, that the past had a deep message for them. One, hope was never lost. And two, that redemption or freedom, they were dreaming of freedom, L'shana haba b'nei chorin, meant that we would be free one day to more fully serve God. It's interesting. The Rambam, in his remarkable presentation of messianic times, of what it means for us today to dream of redemption, writes in multiple places about the following idea. See, the Rambam was convinced of a particular position of Shmuel, one of the greatest and earliest of the Amoraim. There was Rav and Shmuel, the first two of our Amoraim. Shmuel takes the position that messianic times are not in any way distinct from the world that we live in. There's nothing supernatural about it. Ein ben olam azal imos ha-mashiach, ela shibud malchios bilvad. The only difference is that the Jewish people will have greater geopolitical and economic security. So the Rambam poses the question, says, in light of the fact that I believe very much in what Shmuel said, there's not going to be flying saucers, it's not the Jetsons, you know, the halacha still maintains. So what's the big deal? Mipnei ma nis'avu chachamim limos ha-mashiach. What's so interesting about it? So the Rambam answered his own question. And he said, well, I'll tell you why. He says, because in the Mos HaMashiach we'll be B'nei Chorin. We're not going to have Shibud Malchios. What does it mean for us to be B'nei Chorin? We'll have the optimal conditions through which we will be able to serve God. A person under financial pressure, a person who's suffering from mass anti-Semitic persecution, that kind of person is going to have a much harder time focusing intensively on matters of Torah, on matters of observance. Right? The pressures are enormous. When the Jewish people came to this country, right, the idea that you weren't going to show up to work on Saturday, you don't show up on Sunday or Monday either. There was just a limit to what people could achieve. It was a very, very, very different reality. So the Rambam says, yeah, that's why we want to be B'nei Chorin, B'mos HaMashiach, because it will maximize our opportunity to serve God, to develop the most meaningful relationship possible. That was exactly what the authors of the Halach Ma'anya were talking about. Hashtahach l'shana haba ba'arad di Yisrael, Hashta avde l'shana haba b'nei chorin. Me'ein l'cha ben chorin elamisha osek batora. The message of Yetzias Mitzrayim was twofold. We remembered every single day of our lives to remind ourselves that hope can never really be lost. That first generation, the primordial generation, the generations of Mitzrayim who suffered through that experience, but ultimately were extracted and redeemed, reminded us that there's no such thing as a gola, as an exile, without an end, number one. And number two, Chayav Adam Liros Esatzmo Ki'ilu Hu Yatza Mimitzrayim, when we come out of that gola, it's for an elevated purpose. It's not to be rid of King George III. It's not to be freed of the Egyptian taskmaster per se. It's exactly as the Ramban wrote in the essay. Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Mi'beis Avadim. From that situation of Avdos to Ki Avadai, Haim, Asher Hotzesi Osam Me'eretz Mitzrayim. To me, the most remarkable thing about the Haggadah starting with the Halach Ma'anya, it goes straight for the point. This is going to be relevant in all generations. Jews in every corner of the earth, in every epoch, in every generation, will struggle with these questions. When will redemption come to us? When will we be able to experience the freedom necessary for us to more fully commit ourselves to a life of divine service? You could have stuck Halach Ma'anya somewhere in the middle, somewhere towards the end, but apparently it was that important. We had to start with this idea. It was an idea of how the Jews of a new diaspora look to the past for hope. Hashtahacha, but it's only temporary. L'shana haba, in much better times. And the Jews of a diaspora understood that the meaning of their redemption would mean exactly what it had meant for the Jews of Egypt. Ulakachta mosem eschem li la'am, that they would be brought closer to God by virtue of their redemption. They understood the halachic significance of B'nai Chorin, of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, as intrinsically part of Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim. As the Rav said, it's not a separate mitzvah. To be Mekabel O Malchus Shemayim, to accept the yoke of heaven, is to remind ourselves that it was for that purpose alone that we were taken out of Egypt. God didn't need to prove himself to anyone by doing the wonders of the plagues and the splitting of the sea. He did it to impress upon us that he was Adon Kol Haaretz, and that our allegiance was owed uniquely and exclusively to him. The Halach Ma'anya captures the duality of Chayav Adam Liros Es Atzmo Ki'ilu Hu Yatza Mimitzrayim, the hope associated with that consciousness, but also the sense of deep responsibility associated with that awareness as well, that we're here for a very particular purpose. Ki avadai heim asher hotzesi osam me'eretz Mitzrayim. The Jews of Bavel had a consciousness that was shaped a millennia beforehand. Literally. They understood the message of Yetzias Mitzrayim. I marvel, I think we all should, at the Jewish capacity for meaningful memory of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. If we talked last week about the importance of transmission, of the young, the theme for this week is how the past can calibrate our existence and inspire us. The extent to which Jews have lived with deep memories of Yetzias Mitzrayim in the sense of generating hope, and in the sense of reminding us of what our responsibilities are upon redemption, to me, is a remarkable source of faith in Am Yisrael. And the Halach Ma'anya is really the first of its kind. You can chart it out throughout the process of Magid. We'll cover the matzahs, and every now and again, we'll interrupt exactly for these purposes. Just to give very quickly another example, we say, V'hisha amda, it's not really part of the text of the Agada, we cover the matzahs. Behold, Arvador omdim aleinu l'chaloseinu, Kadosh Baruch Hu matzileinu miyadam. There are all these interludes. It starts with Halach Ma'anya, an interlude even before the Haggadah starts, where we take pause to just sort of say out loud that this is relevant to us in a very meaningful, ongoing fashion. The Halach Ma'anya, of course, is the greatest of all of these. It's where the Haggadah has to begin, with a reminder that everything that we're about to say is relevant not only in the Babylonian diaspora, but is relevant in every diaspora that we have, including our very own. And especially this year, I think, as we've been through an ordeal that had already started by last Pesach, but whose dimensions were still not fully imaginable last Pesach. Chayav Adam Liros Esatzmo Kiilu Hoyatza Mimitzrayim. Our consciousness is essentially that no period of darkness is interminable. It can't be. We already have been taken out of Egypt. We know that every period of bondage comes to an end. Every period of darkness in the end comes to a light at the end of the tunnel. And at the same time, we're aware that the purpose of that redemption is so that we can elevate ourselves still further. It's not to get back to normal for normal's sake, but rather to try to draw closer. Ki avadai heim asher hotzeisi osam eretz Mitzrayim. The gauntlet that faces our community is not a question of how soon can we get rid of the masks and the distancing. That's an understandable perspective. But the deeper perspective of Chayav Adam Liros Esatzmo Kiilu Yatza Mimitzrayim, the perspective of those who authored the Halach Ma'anya, Hashta Avdei L'Shana Haba B'nei Chorin, wasn't when can we be free of all of these restrictions, but when can we be free of all of these restrictions to a far greater ends so that we can dedicate ourselves anew to a more wholesome and more intensive form of divine service. Each person, in accordance with what they believe the areas of greatest intensification need to be. But if we are to be true to Jewish history, our emergence from this particular period of darkness has to be coupled with a sense of what the Ramban wrote about in his essay in the Aseres HaDibros. Mibeis Avadim. Any period of redemption, of course, is not redemption to be free from, but to be free to serve God in a more fuller sense, with still greater devotion, with still greater commitment. Thank you very much.